This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Yeah, the clearest, I think, the obvious choice for pairing, class pairings, when you're talking about orcs or half-orcs.
Or wine and cheese pairings.
Yes, is barbarian.
Yes.
But I feel like that is too easy. I'd be interested to look at some of the other classes that would be a really interesting companion to that race. That's not just the brute force, like continuation of that concept of brute force.
Yeah,
because that's going to work well for you. Like if you want to be a tank, be an orc barbarian or a half orc barbarian, and you're going to do lot of damage.
That's the thing. Like if you go with the grain for your class race pairing, anything that's martially oriented is going to be great. In fact, if I remember correctly, on the page for Paladin in the Player's Handbook, the example they show artistically is a half-orc.
Oh, okay.
If I remember this correctly. And so Fighter would
Paladin
be great.
Paladin makes a lot of sense.
Paladin would be awesome, especially if they're driven by, as we said before, Grummish, or a different deity as a way to kind of temper those urges. But yeah, anytime that you're going to be a frontline fighter, a kind of a tank, using melee weapons, especially if they do a lot of damage, that's perfectly great to go that way. To go against the grain, kind of off-label usage of the class race pairings, I think it would be really interesting to do like a rogue, because it's a class
stealthy,
inherently suited to subtlety.
Yeah,
with a race inherently not suited to subtlety.
See, I was thinking wizard, because you usually think of squishy little wizard.
Right.
And so you're pairing squishy little wizard with, like, big built race.
And there's a stigma with half-orcs that they're dumb, but there's nothing in the lore, nothing in the stats that they have to be dumb. Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And wizards are typically, like you said, really squishy, skinny kids, like myself. They don't have to be. You know, that wizard can be swole. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think also we've seen this in Critical Role where Ford is a warlock, which makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a lot, that half-orcs and orcs are, like, really great companions with warlocks.
Right, because there's Pact of the Blade, which gives them a lot of that martial stuff back in there, too. So it ends up being a kind of a backdoor way into those martial classes again, which is kind of fun.
And it's the whole sell your soul for this one thing is, like, why not? It goes back to that,
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to live that long.
Yeah, my soul.
Right? My life is already short.
Am I currently doing anything with the soul? I'm not really aware. I'm not? Great. You can have it. Sure. I'll take a
look. Maybe you'll get rid of Grung. Maybe you take my soul. I'll go with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Grummish go with you now? Because that would be great.
Yeah.
Is there a fine print that I could look at in this contract? Also, I unsurprisingly would say bard.
You just think bards go with everything. And they do go with everything.
That's because they do go with everything, Casey. Thank you for making my point. Because think about it. Like, that passion, that joie de vivre of just, like, wherever the road takes you and just, like, I'm going to be singing in here and I'm in a bar fight over there and later I'll be in the dungeon.
I mean, you could even go with, like, the circus performer act of, like, strongman.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Or, and, like, the people that come to, like, pay $5 to see the scariest creature around. Or, I don't know. Like, you could be the performer that's maybe the, like, Ferdinand likes to smell the flowers, but you put on the show of being the big, scary, evil creature, and people pay you money to just look at you, and you're like, okay, that's easy.
Yeah, exactly. And you're, like, doing an illusion for, like, the barker. It's like, you're not even really there. You run the whole show, but you're the one in the cage. That'd be really awesome. Yeah, and there's so many different colleges now for the bards that you could find one that would make a lot of sense. Going with that kind of passion on your sleeve kind of idea. So that's kind of where my mind goes. Also, I was thinking about this earlier today in the car. Artificer would be really a lot of fun.
That's not one that we've really brought into pairings much until this point.
It's
other
not
than
because
gnomes,
it's relatively new.
Artificer
has come out since we've started the podcast.
See, Artificer seems like, and again, there's nothing to imply this, and it's just stereotype, me stereotyping this race, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem like they wouldn't be able to finesse, like, tools or other things. Like, I think of Artificer and I think of, like, oh, you're building a pocket watch with these tiny little gears
right.
and this other stuff. That's not always
but
true.
There's Artificer armorers, too, who are making the cool gauntlets
right.
and shields and breastplates and all this other cool stuff. Like,
he couldn't, the half-orc could never find armor that fit him right, so he's
yeah.
like, I'm just gonna
yeah,
make it.
Screw it, I'll do it myself. You know,
take my anger out of this piece
yeah.
of metal.
Is he okay? Yeah, he's been forging for 36 hours straight. I don't know how he does it. I mean, it looks great, but wow.
And I'd like to rage.
Yeah, I would like to rage. On what? The armor. Okay.
You make it in half
you
the time.
Can have a bonus plus two there. Yeah, so yeah, that's how I would do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And then now, after talking about all this stuff with the half-orcs, I'm actually kind of excited to play a half-orc.
Right, I think and we I just labeled almost every class.
Yeah,
like barring maybe
good.
Two.
Yeah,
like you can do all of them basically.
Yeah,
it's surprisingly versatile when it looks on the surface like
right.
it would be very much pigeonholing you into
right. because
one
it
area.
Adds new dimensions to the classes that make them kind of like come alive and shimmer and shine in a different way. And so it's nice to be able to pull out these aspects of the classes by putting a different race inside.
Right, and this is going to be maybe a little bit of an odd, different way to end this, but. Something that just came up to me is that sometimes there are dialogues about DMs that are struggling with players at the table
yeah.
because they're using the excuse of that's just what my character would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you would have to be cautious as a player that you're not necessarily going to play an orc just so that you can pick a fight with every other player that's there when they say something that you don't like. Because I think it would be easy to
yes.
unintentionally make everyone else have a bad time
right.
while still kind of being in character.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
does that make sense?
It absolutely does, because the excuse of that's just what my character would do is oftentimes a cop-out for I want to be a jerk or
yes.
be selfish at the table
and
in this collaborative game.
This race is, like, built for it's
right.
letting you be a jerk if that's,
well,
like...
Well, it could be. You could absolutely focus on those elements of it. And so, like with everything, everyone at the table has a job to work together with everyone else on the table in their particular roles. And so that you have to make sure that you're having fun, but also they're having fun too. And sometimes being the loose cannon that gets the party in trouble when it would be so easy if we just didn't get into a bar fight at this one town, please. They're like, hey, those orphans started it. I'm not going to back down. You know, I can see that, but if you do it every single time, then it's could get old really quick.
So what are some tips that you might have for a DM that's potentially running into an issue like this with a player that's playing an orc? Especially because, like, with clerics, it's
mm-hmm.
easy to be like, oh, your god turns their back on you
mm-hmm.
because you're not following their domain. But with this one, like, Grummish is very proud of you, actually, and so I'm not sure what to do here.
Do you want to multiclass to warlock? Because I think there's a really strong case now.
Yeah, so what would you recommend? I mean, obviously, communication is key,
yeah.
but have you ever run into situations
like
this?
Yeah, so there's two ways to do this. One is outside the game, one is inside the game. Outside the game, just talk to them.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people who play D&D do not like confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it.
Which is funny because I think people play D&D because they have a safe place to have confrontation.
Yes.
Right? Because they're not comfortable or
it's
they're
not
going to do it in real
doing
life.
It. They get to disassociate
yeah.
and put it on
exactly.
their fictional character. But you just have to do it. And it's very much that Benjamin Franklin quote, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hit it early. Pull them aside. Hey, I know that you're having a blast. Other people aren't having fun. And I need you to just think about, like, as you play your character, is this going to derail the story in a way that's just not going to make it fun for me as the DM? Or is this going to come tedious to the people at the table as they're going to have to, like, give up on their own personal narratives and their own personal goals to
right.
keep getting you out of trouble or to get into the hijinks you want to do to the point where they just don't want to play with you anymore? And we don't want to see that happen. The way to take care of it inside the game is simple. Real world consequences. And because I'm thinking in particular, Critical Role, Campaign One, Scanlan and Grog, they get into so much trouble everywhere they go. Like towns that are really critical for them to be able to visit at will, where they're murdering shopkeeps and guards and hiding the bodies poorly and almost getting kicked out. It's like, oh man, this is going to go bad. And Matt just leans into it like, hey, this is what you guys chose. Because it's like, they're like, this is just what my character would do. And he's like, this is just what my town would do. You guys are about to get in a heap of trouble. And the rest of the party is like, we need this town. Stop it. You know, it was funny, but they also knew where to pump the brakes. So I think real consequences for real actions is a great way to do that in the game.
Right.
Thanks for equipping the compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already, since new episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you guys are a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with a friend. We hope to see you back in a few days for our next episode, where we will be continuing our discussion, delving further into the wonderful world of D&D.